prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's the beginning of 2021, and all of us want to be more motivated moving into 2021. Let's be honest, 2020 kind of sucked, really sucked. Some of us are starting from scratch, like me, starting over. Some of us just want to improve on our game. Regardless of how you look at it, we need to be focused. And we need to be able to move past obstacles, either obstacles that were there before or the obstacles that we're moving towards. And there's a guy I know who I call the comeback kid for a reason. And I think that if we could get inside his head and understand how he ticks a little bit, many of us could find the inspiration and motivation deep down inside ourselves to make the kind of gains and progress that we want to make. Of course, before we have Dave Pulcinella join us, I have to thank our title sponsor, and that is, of course, Legendary Foods. Legendary Foods introduced the Tasty Pastry to the sports nutrition world, to those who like low-carb, low-sugar. And the Tasty Pastry just got better. The new Tasty Pastry is called Birthday Cake Style. It has 20 grams of protein, zero sugar. The old Tasty Pastry tasted like a Pop-Tart. It was that hard pastry crust. This is more like a flaky apple turnover filled with juicy, delicious filling. Everybody who tastes them says this is a game changer for the industry of sports nutrition. You can go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary or eatlegendary.com. And you use the code SHR10 and you'll save 10% off. I promise you, you won't be able to keep these in your house. Your kids will love them. You will love them. You'll want to eat them constantly. Check them out. Legendary Foods' new birthday cake, tasty pastry. 20 grams of protein, zero sugar, nothing but goodness. Check it out. Now, without further delay, an old friend of mine, and I can say that because I am old, and that is my buddy Dave Pulcinella. How are you, Dave?
Carl, how you making out, man? It's
been pretty good. We're both here, right? Last show Dave and I did, by the way, last show that Dave and I did, I'm going to find a way to re-air it soon.
Yeah.
Because it's called
Six Foods That Work.
The Six Foods That Work. If you are, first of all, I was hanging out with Aaron Singerman over New Year's Eve. Aaron looks better than I've ever seen him look. His shoulders are huge. His arms are huge. His waist is tapered. Aaron eats every 2 hours on clockwork, the same foods. And this is the thing that people don't get. People see guys like you training in the gym like animals. They don't understand that the hard part is eating all day long, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year.
Yeah,
That's where the hard work is, right?
And that really is the part that separates those who make the progress that you see getting better and better in the gym, or those doing the same thing and looking the same time after time, year after year, which is most people. And then you have that person who can do that, and it's very, very rare, and those are the ones that always look good and are getting better.
Right.
And guess what, Carl? The six foods that work still work.
Yeah, right.
They still do.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about that intermingled into the show, and I will re-air that show. But I call you the comeback kid because ever since I've known you, you have dealt with obstacles like a Sherman tank. It's like you get knocked down, and there's no doubt in my mind that Dave will be massively strong again. It's just a matter of time. So
when is it going to happen?
Right. Where did that come from? Is that something that you learned from your dad? I mean, your brother Mike is a successful videographer. Where did you learn that determination that? And because I know you don't really like, you even say in one of the Raising the Bars that you don't even really like training for hours and hours, do you?
I never loved training for the sake of training. Most bodybuilders really love being in the gym, and they love the actual activity that the training itself. They love it. I knew it was a means to an end and a tool to get me to where I wanted to be. And I don't think I learned this anywhere. I think the key, if there is a key, Carl, is that you have to find in your life the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning, mm-hmm. the why behind everything that you do, the thing that burns in you so hot and so brightly that you can't not do it. If you have that thing, and very few people do ever find that thing, unfortunately, but if you have that thing, the things you need to do to get there are automatic. You don't need someone to motivate you. You don't need someone lifting you up and blowing air up your ass to do it. You just do it. So my comebacks are always based on the fact that I can't allow this thing not to be in my life anymore. I love it too much.
You know, it's funny. Aaron and I talked about that. That's exact thing. He said a honeybee doesn't have to wake up in the morning and be motivated to go out and do its job. It goes right, gets right out of the hive.
Yeah, good analogy.
So if you don't have that in your life, then maybe job one would be to find that.
If you find that, a lot of answers, a lot of doors open up, and all of a sudden you see very clearly what it is you are meant to do. And I fortunately saw this at the age of 12. Two things, actually. I saw bodybuilding and I saw music as the two things I wanted to do. I was lucky enough to have two passions, which I really feel blessed to have had.
So bodybuilding at 12, what does it look like? Where were you? What did you see? What did made you go, I want to look like that?
Bodybuilding at 12 is a study in frustration because, as you know, we do not have the requisite hormones at that age to really make any appreciable changes. So I was kind of beating a dead horse at that point. But I had the image of, like so many people, of Arnold Schwarzenegger's physique
right
in my head. Because 1975, the year I was 12, was the year Pumping Iron came out, the movie. And I saw that, and it just lit up like a neon light. This is what I want to and will do. So it was very clear to me at that point. And I actually, it's a funny story. My cousin Steve and I used to work out in my basement. So Steve Fulsnell, who is a
powerlifter,
you know, a famous strongman.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. He was on my show. He was on my show.
Exactly.
He was on my show. Yeah, when he was having problems with GERD. I had him on the show.
He's another one who's had a lot of adverse conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
But he and I used to work out in my basement. What I had done was you used to have to wait until Pumping Iron came on Channel 12. And the only way I knew was reading the TV guide.
TV guide,
I'd find out when it was going to be on. And I got my cassette tape recorder, and I recorded it on a cassette tape. And I would play that cassette tape in my basement just listening to the movie Pumping Iron while we worked out. And that was so motivating to us just to hear the movie in the background while we were training.
That's hilarious, but that's something.
Yeah.
So 12, you get turned on to bodybuilding.
Yeah.
At what age do you think I want to compete?
By 15, I wanted to compete. And we made that happen. At 15, you're usually too young to do anything really on a real stage. But at 14 to 15, I started to get I already had a whole posing routine put together based on what I had seen on Pumping Iron and how those guys posed, taking a bit of Ed Corning and a bit of Franco and a bit of Arnold, a bit of Lou, and putting it all together into my own thing. I already knew how to pose, had a complete posing routine by the time I was 15. So what me and Steve did, because we wanted to compete so bad, but we were so young, is we actually held our own show in his basement.
Really?
And I believe it was, 1978, 79? No, 81. It was 81. And we called it the Mr. Ridley Park PA contest. And literally six or seven dudes from the neighborhood, some were wrestlers, some were young bodybuilders, all around our age, still in high school, showed up the day of the show. And my cousin Joe and a couple other guys were the judges. We had a judging panel, and we had a backdrop. We had lighting, and we had seven contestants. And we had a show.
That's so cool.
Pre-judging and the night show, the whole thing, the whole day was spent in his basement doing this competition.
That's
hilarious. And I won. Steve took second. I can't remember who took third. But that was my first win, Mr. Ridley.
And that was it for you, right? Like, once you get the...
That was it. I loved it. I loved it. I had a routine all made up for that. We had posed to music and everything. So my first real show, though, was a couple years later, not too long after that, the Teen Delaware County, where I proceeded to take dead last.
Really? So that had a sting, right?
Seventh out of seven. I literally had no idea what I was doing. I wore a bathing suit instead of posing trunks. Mm. I didn't tan. I had tan lines. You know, I was on white legs.
Right.
My posing was good. I knew how to pose.
Right.
I hadn't dieted. I didn't know anything.
Right.
So that really taught me what I needed to do to come on stage and look the way, you know, you needed to look to do a show. The next year, I came back and won the show, the Teenage Delaware County.
Let's fast forward for a second to a series of documentaries that were made about you and your career as an NPC competitor called Raising the Bar.
Yeah.
And your brother Mike was the videographer. And he followed you through your life for quite several different periods of your life when you were preparing for shows. But there was one, I think it was the very first one, maybe it was Raising the Bar 2, where you came into the picture seriously out of shape. In fact, I want to just
That was three. The third one.
Okay. I want to chronicle your setback. So I want to just put this up here just for a second to show where you started and where you ended up. Over what period of time was that transformation? What period of time?
So all three Raising the Bars, all three of them, chronicle my comeback and my attempt to finally turn pro.
Right.
I realized at that point that I only have a set number of years left to do this thing that I love. I was 39 at the time. So it chronicles me from 39 to 42. All three Raising the Bars are that time period, 39 to 42, in my attempt to turn pro. So he follows me around for my qualifier, which was the Delaware State East Coast Classic, and then follows me to all the national pro qualifiers.
Right.
So that was the time period. But yeah, the third installment of that, it opens up with me reeling from a devastating breakup, being on my own, had not done anything for 6 months, no gear, no training, eating whatever I want.
Drink. Do you like alcohol when you're deep in the bottom like that?
I'm not a drinker.
Okay, so you don't have that.
Not a drinker.
Yeah, you don't have that.
That's not my thing. I don't really struggle with that, staying away from alcohol. But I got to be honest, during my last prep, my final prep, I really did want to have a nice glass of champagne, but I couldn't do it. I thought to myself, this has probably been my last year because I'm starting to want things that I never even thought of before.
Yeah.
Then, you know, when that stuff starts seeping in and you don't have a complete, total, 100% clarity of purpose, you know that maybe things are coming to an end, you know? I wanted to go to the beach.
You wanted to do new things. You want to experience new things. Because you know what people don't understand about bodybuilding, is a football player has an off season, a baseball player has an off season, a basketball player has an off season. In their off season, they lead normal lives, right? But a bodybuilder's off season is his building season, and his competitive season.
You're never off.
Bodybuilders are on for 10 years straight. They eat, sleep, and drink bodybuilding. They don't go out. In fact, that's why you don't see basketball players marrying female basketball players, and you don't see football players marrying female football players, but you always see bodybuilders marrying other bodybuilders. Why? Because the life is so friggin' strict.
And even then, it doesn't work most of the time.
Right.
It's so me. Your family ends up resenting you, your significant other. Resents you. People at work resent you. It's just so myopic and self-centered, but it has to be.
Yeah, there's no other way to get through it.
Let's think about this for a second. Look, let's step back for a second and let's no crap. Anyone who wants to be excellent at what they do, not just good or mediocre, but excellent at what they do, has to do that. They have to put all other things aside and focus only on that. You want to be the CEO of a big corporation. You want to be a star athlete. You want to be a great actor. You want to be a great artist, a musician. You have to spend most of your day doing that thing. There's no balance. The only people who have balance are people who are mediocre at what they do.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And there's people out there going, no, that's not true, but it is true.
It is true.
You have to eat, sleep, and drink your goal, and that has to be it. And, you know, that's
or
why
you can be a half-assed jack of all trades.
Yeah, right. Right.
You can be a half-assed jack of all trades, or you can be really, really superior at that one thing.
Right.
But you better immerse yourself in that one thing.
Right. No, you're right. So let's talk about the obstacles you faced. Let's start from what was the very first big bump in the road for you? At what period of your life? Where were you?
It happened within the filming of Raising the Bar. Luckily enough for my brother, because he got some good content for his movies.
Yeah, right. He profited in your pain.
He really did. He really did. He's like, oh man, the things that unfolded in that movie, like you couldn't have scripted that.
Right.
Like being sent home in Raising the Bar 1 after I trained a year for the Delaware State. And they told me they wanted me to leave because I couldn't defend my title because I had won the previous year. So I couldn't come back. I found that out at the show. They tried to send me home.
I didn't know that.
They ended up letting me compete, though. But that kind of thing, you can't script that. Right. No one could have predicted that.
Right.
So the real setback happened. And people were like, you know, you never had any problems. You just had a very simple life. And you were able to train and focus on your training. But that's not necessarily true, the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, in Raising the Bar, I believe it was 2, my live-in girlfriend at the time, and what happened was really just, I mean, it was awful. The night before the 2006 IFBB North American Championships, the night before, we had been having problems, and she was living in an apartment at the time, and I was living at the house. We're separating, just trying to get things back to the way they were. But she was supposed to fly with me to Ohio and do the North Americans, 2006. The night before, we're sitting there having dinner. Bags are packed, ready for the flight the next day. And she just looks at me, and she starts bawling her eyes out. I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, I can't go with you to this show. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I can't go. It wouldn't be right. I'm like, what do you mean it wouldn't be right? I had no idea what she was talking about. So she ended up leaving in tears, ran out of the house, said, I can't do it. You're on your own, and left. I had no idea why at the time. Found out later that the reason she felt that it wasn't right was because she had started a new relationship in the time that she had been living elsewhere. Yeah. And I didn't know about it.
Right.
So she basically had a new boyfriend, couldn't go flying off
with you,
to Ohio with me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I could see she was torn. Like she wanted to be there for you.
And you know, I should have seen it coming because she really didn't like the lifestyle. And as far as she was concerned, there was no end in sight. I was going to continue doing this forever, you know?
Right. Right. Right.
I knew it would only be in a couple more years, but she didn't know that. So anyway, so there I was. Now, I don't do airports. So I can't go on this flight by myself. So I'm there crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. My show's tomorrow, right? This actually happened. Rest in peace, Kenny Weiss. My friend Kenny, I called him in tears. I told him what happened. He literally got in his car. I want you to think about this for a second. Got in his car when he found out what was happening in Florida. Drove to Delaware, picked up my sorry crying ass, and then drove from Delaware to Ohio so I could be at my show. My friend Kenny.
So you didn't have to get on a plane, and he was there.
I didn't have to get on a plane.
Emotional support too. You were able to tell him how miserable you were and all that sort of stuff on the ride.
Kenny was my mentor coming up in bodybuilding. If I did learn anything about the work ethic and everything about bodybuilding that I never knew prior, it was through Kenny Weiss. So he was the perfect person to be there for me for that. But for him to drive, you know, essentially, you know, 16 hours from Florida to Delaware, and then another 6 to Ohio and then back again after the show, that's above and beyond any friend that I've ever even heard of doing something for a friend.
Yeah.
It's just really transcendent to me. But he saved my ass, and I went to that show, and I won.
You did win.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be sweet, right? It started out sad, but it ended up sweet. Okay,
you have no idea the strength it took to not think about what just happened or what I'm going to deal with when I go home, right, and to focus on that show.
All right.
It takes a crazy man to do that. It really,
right,
does.
Right.
I believe you got to be somewhat insane, somewhat out of kilter,
right,
to be able to push all that out of you, push all of it out, and focus on a bodybuilding contest, and then deal with life afterwards. That's what I did.
Now, you've had some physical problems, too, right before shows, right?
Yeah.
One of the raising the bars, you actually – what happened?
So 6 weeks out of the Masters Nationals, which I'm convinced is the reason I didn't do so well. I took fourth at that one, I believe. 6 weeks out, I was doing walking lunges, and I tore a hamstring. Not pulled or strained, but I literally tore the hamstring to the point where it's like a mid-muscle tear.
Right.
The kind of thing where it turns like black.
Yeah,
from
blood pooling.
Cheek,
yeah, right.
All the way down to the calf.
Right.
And then there's no range of motion and there's edema. 6 weeks out, I mean, that's really just pulling it really tight. But I recovered from that. I wasn't able to do legs for like 3 weeks or so. When I finally was able to do legs again, I had 3 weeks to go. Wasn't that much time. And there was still some bruising and some swelling on stage. So that was one of the things. But I'll be honest with you, none of my injuries happened prior to 50 years of age. I can honestly say and happily say that my entire three-decade career was pretty injury-free.
Right.
Everything happened literally from my 50th birthday till now. I'm 56 now.
Right, right.
So, and I've had 5 major surgeries in the past 3 years. So if anything, the greatest comeback I've ever made is happening now, because I will get my physique back to 100%. I will do that.
But you're still massive. Hmm? I mean, you're still carrying a lot of muscle right now, right? I mean, I've seen pictures of you. You look like you're very muscular still. It's not like as though you've fallen
apart. Well, that's only because I have to keep relearning what to do, man. Like, my training doesn't even resemble what it looked like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, even 10 years ago. I've completely reinvented how to train so that I can still keep some mass. All Smith machine, all 15 to 20 reps, huge amounts of warm-up, just totally different, slow rep. You are forced to do the 2 second, 4 second thing,
yeah,
that they teach you in the textbooks.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you have to train that way. You can't do all this ballistic side raises. Like, you can't,
right,
do that anymore.
Right.
So you have to do real slow, controlled movements. And I'll be honest with you, that change is actually not a bad thing.
I was just going to say,
it's a great way to train.
If you could convince younger people to do that before they,
yeah,
get injured, they'd grow faster. I mean, I'm in the same boat as you right now. I'm flattering myself by saying I'm in the same boat as you, because I'm not carrying the amount of muscle that you carry. I'm not even carrying the amount of muscle I carried 2 years ago. But
right,
it's forced me to train differently. And I've discovered this that training with several pauses in the eccentric.
Yeah,
several.
I like that.
You know,
yeah,
like I did pull downs yesterday. So I pull down to the chest and I hold it,
right?
And I let it go a little bit and I hold it and I let it,
right,
and I do 3 pauses on the way back up and then fully
time under tension.
Well, you know what I notice? Every time you put the brakes on, you're forcing fast twitch muscles to clamp.
Yeah,
clamp. Yeah. And
that would be the science behind it.
And
sure,
and it's amazing. Like I only do 5 reps this way. I use the same weight. I'm still using heavy weight that I used to use for 10 or 12 reps, but, you know, ballistically. But
right,
I'm controlling the weight so much more. I just do 5 reps, 5 sets, and I leave the gym with a perpetual pump.
Really?
I've shared this with other people. There's a guy in Louisiana, Dylan Goutreau. He started squatting this way. He said it killed him in the beginning. He says he's gotten so much stronger.
Squatting that way. I,
yes,
can't even imagine that.
Yes. He goes down in the hole. He goes down in the hole slow. Down in the hole stop. Down in the hole stop. Yeah.
Is there a name for this type of training or not?
I called it I came up with something, pause repetition or pause eccentric. I just
wasn't
gave
there
it
such there were rest pause. Rest pause. Isn't that rest pause?
Well, rest pause is when you go
stop
to failure and then you rest.
Right.
And then you this is different. This is, and the problem with this is you got to use the heavy weight, but you only do 5 reps, 3 to 5 reps is all you do. But anyway, I've had to find new ways to train, and I think to myself, man, I wish I would have trained like this back then. I would have made gains faster.
You can't convince a young person who doesn't hurt yet to do things to avoid being hurt because you think you're immortal.
Right.
You just think it's not going to happen. I, you know what? All these years I'm lifting and I'm lifting. I'm doing all these reps, and I have a person standing on the stack for a leg extension. I was never once thinking, it's just a tendon that's making all this happen, that's holding everything together. What happens when that thing wears out? Well, I'll tell you what happens when that thing wears out. What happened to me? You get up out of a chair one day, and your entire quad tendon ruptures completely.
And that was the thing I saw on Facebook. That was a couple years ago, a year or so ago? When was that?
2016.
Yeah.
I was in my office.
Well, hold it. I want to talk about that on the other side of the break. I want to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Also, you have an Instagram page, and I'm asking my audience to please go to Dave's Instagram page and follow him. What's your Instagram?
I'm just starting off on Instagram. I'm late to that party, so I could use some followers. It's at Dave Pulcinella.
At Dave Pulcinella, Pulcinella.
Yep.
Not I, as it says.
I have some good content on there already. It's just, you know, just getting people to
find you.
And see it.
I know. So there you go. I'm asking you to go follow him. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. And we're gonna go out with this video. This is great. Remember those days, Dave? I love this.
Do.
Look.
Costco.
Look at all that chicken. Stuff.
See, I don't buy nearly that much now.
No, you're not trying to be. Look at that.
Don't need to do that. No, yeah. I don't need to do that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order. Are you ready to change the way you age? Of course you are. That's why you're here. Juvicell is a new, first-of-its-kind dietary supplement that includes 10 key research-backed ingredients shown in studies to support lifespan. Things like resveratrol, fisetin, quercetin, pterostilbene, sulforaphane, turmeric, all in a single dose. You may have some of these ingredients already, but Juvicell is the first to combine them all into a single product to support your lifespan. It's vegan, non-GMO, and sustainable. Live better, longer with Juvicell. Go to shrnetwork.biz/livebetter. Use code SHR and save 20% off today. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000 or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Milestorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovery better today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dave Pulcinella, the comeback kid. He's been coming back time and time again. You can't keep Dave down.
That's all he does is come back.
That's it. He's just going to come back. Leave him alone.
All he does is come back.
So I got to put this up because this is something I was actually thinking. Robert Thompson says, would the Brignoli method have prevented those injuries? Doug Brignoli is a great guy.
I know who he is. Okay. We competed against each other.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like, I mean, do you think you could have gotten as massive as you did using this isolation movement approach that Doug Brignoli promotes? I mean, first of all, before I say that, how big were you at your heaviest and your largest?
So on stage or just
both off season, on season.
So my off season weight, top weight was 260 at 5'8". And on stage, the heaviest I ever was 219.
Okay. So do you think that you could have put the dense muscle on that you have put on in your career using Doug's method? Truthfully.
You know, it's impossible to – that's an experiment that can't be done,
right,
obviously.
Right.
I feel so strongly about how I trained and how it evolved and how it came from necessity. I'm not sure if I ever could have achieved what I achieved if I didn't do the type of controlled cheating like those row downs I did. Because if you think about what makes a muscle grow, it's time under tension, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's overload. And on a movement, let's take my row downs, for example. Super cheap pull downs that almost look like a row where you're coming down, your upper body's like on a
There's a value to that. Your lower back, your mid back.
There's such a value to it.
Yeah.
I was using a 300-pound stack for sets of 20, and nothing but my lats would get sore the next day.
Right.
It wasn't hitting my lower back. It wasn't hitting anything but the target muscle because of the cheating was a controlled cheating designed to put more tension on the muscle,
To force the muscle to handle more weight than it was
capable.
It forces the muscle to handle more weight than it's capable. It's almost
more
like
weight over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. I adapted movements in that fashion for almost every movement that I did was kind of my own style. I kind of made it my own, and I don't know that I would have grown to the degree that I did. I don't know if I had kept the 2-4 count real super strict, slow.
Well, now I think I like Doug's approach, and I'm building a new gym, and I'm using some of the movements that he espouses to determine what equipment I'm buying. So I like what he talks about, but what he's more focused on is kinesiology. The appropriateness of a movement to totally hit the muscle the way the muscle was designed to move. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can use heavy weight and use Doug's approach. So I really like what
he
talks about.
It's all about what the muscle perceives, though. It doesn't matter how much how high the number is on the dumbbell. How much resistance does the muscle perceive, right? But I would ask Doug this. I would say, Doug, Would he have achieved the level of mass that he did had he trained the way he does now? Then
I didn't know he didn't. I always thought he trained this way. I didn't know that.
Has he always?
I don't know. I'm going to have him back on the show. I love the guy. I think he's great.
I was under the impression that's lately he trains like that because he's older now.
So here, let's get this out of the way too. Do you recommend cardio, prowlers, swimming, stair steppers, anything like that?
Do I recommend cardio or those specific types of cardio?
Yeah, no. Let's hit each of those. You're a fan of cardio. In fact, hold on a second. I think I have a video of you.
I'm a fan of one type of cardio, though. I don't like any other cardio other than the stationary bike. I got to be honest.
You like the stationary.
That's all I've ever done. Yeah. It works for me. I like it. I hate the Stairmaster. I hate the elliptical machine. I hate the treadmill. The Prowler I've never done.
How about just walking? Are you a walking? Do you like to walk?
See, walking to me isn't exercise. Walking is how a human being gets from point A to point B.
Right.
Walking is something that we just do. It's just moving. I don't believe that's a form of cardio because it's too mild and your body will get accustomed to it so quickly and then hit a wall Right. You can't unless you're speed walking with ankle weights on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to make it progressive. So on the stationary bike, I can always go up a level of resistance or add to my RPMs or add the time.
How about a prowler? I like the prowler. I like to push the sled and things like that. Are you a fan of that kind of stuff?
I've never done the prowler.
Yeah.
Well, for me now, there's no way my knees would handle it.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
Maybe back in the day, I would have enjoyed something like that, but I don't know. I always liked doing the stationary bike. It was my thing, man. And I do recommend I think cardio should be in anyone's program as a component.
I agree.
With very few exceptions. Very few exceptions.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Wait a minute. I got to stop the show. Is that right? Is that Matt Meinrod watching the show right now? Oh, man. Look, Matt Meinrod said, look who it is.
Wait a minute. Is this live?
Yeah, of course it's live.
Oh, I didn't know we're live.
Yeah. Don't pick your nose.
Can't edit it.
Matt Meinrod, look at that. I can't believe that Matt Meinrod is honoring this show. And I mean that sincerely. I love Matt. Matt's a great guy. He lived in Louisville for a while.
Nothing else to do.
Oh, no. He's a big fish over there, Redcon One. Big fish.
I just signed on with Redcon One, as a matter of fact, as a rep.
One floating shelf, two books. You're better than that, Dave. Matt's great. I love Matt.
I was going to put my book up on that shelf to see if anyone noticed the book, the Art of Not How to Not Give an F.
Yeah, Not Giving an F. Yeah, I've seen that book too. Anyway, Matt, thanks for being here, brother. So let's talk about the fact that you are in probably the biggest comeback of your life right now. Talk about that.
Oh no, it's not. It's without a doubt the biggest comeback. So like I said, between 2016 and now, I've had five major surgeries, but you got to hear how each one of them happened. It's just hilarious. I swear, I wish I had better stories for how these injuries happen.
Right.
But literally, they're just from time and wear over the years. And then what was it going to be that was the straw that broke the camel's back? What was it going to be that was going to make the thing tear, you know? And the first one happened, like I said, in 2016. I was with a client in my office. And I got to stand up out of my chair, and I guess I put too much weight on the right leg, and it just, with a huge audible pop, it snapped. The quadricep tendon completely ruptured. My quad swung up to the top, big gap between the knee and the quad. You know what I mean?
I know.
The kneecap fell to the side, and I fell to the floor screaming. And then the ambulance came and scooped me up off the floor and put me onto a stretcher. And carried me away. Now, that is a six-month recovery. So I had that major surgery done. Six-month recovery for that, so no legs for 6 months. The sixth month after that, like literally the 6 months, I had just done my first leg workout back that Saturday.
What did you do for your first leg workout? Just curious. Were you like really cautious?
Light leg presses and light leg curls, and that's it. But I felt so good because 6 months ago, I was literally laid up. I had a full leg cast on, and it was a mess. So that Saturday, I had done my first leg workout back after 6 months, and I was really happy to be able to do legs again. The next day, Sunday, I was delivering something to a friend of mine. Their daughter answered the door. I was on their front porch, and their dog, who tends to be a little unruly, she forgot to put him in the cage. So he lunged out the door at me, and I fell backwards and twisted a little bit, and my left one, the same exact thing happened.
On the other leg?
The day after my six-month anniversary.
So this had to be an anatomical defect. It had to be.
Well, I don't think it was an anatomical defect in as much as it was literally a million reps of leg curls over 40 years, or leg extensions over 40 years with the stack ballistic movements. It's like you're sawing away at that.
Was there any soreness? You know what I mean? Ever any soreness in that area? Any soreness? No.
What now?
No, back when, before, right before the injuries, did you have any tendonitis?
They've been giving me problems.
Yeah.
They had been giving me problems. Anyway, when that dog knocked me down and I heard that pop, I knew exactly what it was and what it meant.
It meant another six months
of what I just went through. And I started crying. And they thought I was crying because I was in pain. I was crying because of what I knew I needed to go through again. So that's another 6 months. After that, my shoulder was giving me problems. So I went to the doctor. He MRI'd it. Sure enough, it was a rotator cuff tear. Right. But it wasn't all the way off the bone. So I could still use it. He said, if you just use it carefully, do lightweight, slow reps, be careful, you can get a lot more years out of this without having surgery. He said, just don't fall on it or do anything like that. That night, I was asleep and had a bad dream. And in that dream, I was in a fight. And in that fight, I lunged at the person. And in real life, when I lunged
at the person, jerked.
In my sleep, I lunged off the bed in my sleep and landed directly on that shoulder and tore it the rest of the way off the bone.
Oh, man. Oh, I can't believe
that. Which is exactly what he told me not to do.
This is like if somebody was telling a bad joke, this is how it would start, right?
So I had to have the surgery on that one. That had me in a sling for 3 months. Then when I came back from that, I was doing cable curls, and this one went pop. Needed the same surgery.
Same
on that.
Surgery. It's so interesting that you unilaterally damaged your body. I'm sorry. You bilaterally.
One limit of time.
You bilaterally damaged your body. Those were all damaged tissue that finally came home through. Matt Meinrad put something up that's true. Older guys like us, I mean, I'm 62 now, BPC 157 and mechano growth factor are two peptides you should always have, and you should use them every single day. Half a milligram a day of BPC 157,
and
300 micrograms of mechano growth factor a day, and you're
you know
you're
a good place to get those, though, like where it's legit.
Yeah, I'll text you after the show. Yeah,
right,
get on that. PeptideSciences.com.
P-E-P. Okay, it's been too long. I've been hearing about this for now 5 years, and I haven't done it. And there's no reason I shouldn't, right?
PeptideSciences.com. Use the code SHR to get 10% off, and you can get
that. All right, I'm going to have you text that to me because I'm going to do it.
But Matt's right. And older guys like us, we need to have it because these soft tissue starts to dry out. The other thing that you got to remember is glucosamine and collagen. Protein,
yeah, critical. Collagen. I'm doing big time right now.
Critical.
I have been for a while. Love that. I'm also doing a lot of fish oil and EFAs. So
yeah. So Robert Thompson says, do you think gear contributed to the risk of injuries?
Oh, yeah,
because it makes you so much stronger.
Two things. First of all, not only does gear make you stronger than your connective tissue,
right,
which is a known fact,
right,
but it also over time eats away at the connective tissue. Through what mechanism, I don't know, but it definitely weakens it over time. Mm-hmm. So when you're a guy who's been on gear for 30 years, your connective tissue isn't what it was. And then things like Winstrol dry out your joints,
right,
which makes it worse. And then the other thing, there was two things I wanted to talk about. So the fact that the gear dries it out, and what was the other thing?
The weakening of the soft tissue in itself, but also the muscle becomes stronger.
The second one just slipped my head. I'm sorry.
Well, myostatin. So anything.
I know. I'm sorry. Real quick.
Good.
The second thing I really think contributed to all my connective tissue problems was the six foods that work. Believe it or not, only because I ate like that for so many years, for so long during the year, and there's no fats in that diet.
Well, there's no collagen. There's no collagen in that diet either.
There's no collagen, and there's no – exactly. So had I supplemented – this is the one thing that I wish I had done different. Had I done the six foods that work, which is great to do, but had I supplemented with collagen and EFAs, I think I would have been much better.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. You actually experienced a nutrient-type deficiency. In fact, I wrote –
Now, it took 30 years, but
right.
Yes.
I wrote a blog post.
Absolutely, nutrient deficiency.
I wrote a blog post. Why – it's better for you to eat tough meat than it is, you know, for years I would eat steak and I would buy minute steaks. You remember you're Italian like me. We remember they used to make the steak up pizzaiola sandwiches, right? They used that steak. They used the cheap steak. They ran it through the tenderizer. So it had all those holes in it. Okay. So that's how you make a cheap steak taste good, by tenderizing it. What people don't understand is that's the best steak to eat. And that's because the reason it's tough is it has more collagen in it.
Oh, see, in my mind, I was always thinking, okay, if it's tougher, it's your body's going to have a harder time breaking it down.
Yeah, no.
So you'll end up with a lot of undigested
meat. No.
Undigested meat in your in your colon. And
yeah,
and
no, no, like that's a fallacy. If you have undigested meat in your colon, you'll see it in the toilet bowl. You go, oh my God, look, there's that hamburger I ate. It still looks the same. That's all BS. But the reality is the tough meat is better to eat because it has more collagen in it. So you're getting your collagen. Bingo. That's it.
Do you like, bone broth, things of that nature?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of bone broth. I stick with the animal protein. I eat vegetables. I eat white rice. I just got back on a meal plan. I prep my foods.
You eat animal protein? Don't you know that this is 2020 and the only thing that works is vegetable protein?
Yeah, I know. Carl. I prep my meals just like a geek. I prep my meals, chicken and broccoli today. That's
just
a three
like a
meal.
A jacked geek.
Yeah, yeah. But I eat. They still look good. You still look good. Let's see. Bill Bergman has a question. He says, I often see pros training their back muscles bilaterally over unilaterally exercise. Is there a reason for that?
I think he means unilaterally.
So you mean he sees them training one arm versus two arm?
Right.
What do you think about that?
I don't like it, and I'll tell you why. One big reason I don't like unilateral training is because to truly do it effectively, you got to do the one arm, right? And then you got to take a
break. Got to rest.
Like it's a set.
Right.
And then you got to come back. It's going to take you twice as long to do it and twice as long to get back to the original limb. I don't like that. I like doing both at the same time, exhausting it, letting it rest, and then come back to it.
And focus. If you have a non-dominant arm, focus on that arm doing the initial pulling. You could do that if that's what you're worried about.
Exactly. I just don't like – and then I don't like doing that one set, first set, having the other set hanging over my head that I have to do. And if you don't take that rest, you'll run out of wind before you run out of
Whenever I used to do things unilaterally, if I started with my left hand for the first set, yeah, I'd start with my right hand for the second set so that you have equal exhaustion separating.
Yeah, but then it's so long before you get back to the left arm.
Only thing I do unilaterally is bent over dumbbell rows. That's all
I have to, really. I don't do anything unilaterally. I don't like it. I like bilateral movements only, and that's just the way I've always trained. I've tried them, and I've always come back to what I like.
Yeah. So I want to take a break, but before we go into the break, I want to give a different angle, a different side of you. And we have Natalie Kapitsky, my director of communications, was impressed with your piano stylings. And this is you actually playing an original piece that you wrote, right? Let's see what it sounds like.
Yeah, I write some stuff.
That's pretty cool. That sounds a little jazzy. It sounds like something you'd hear in a Broadway play or something like that, Broadway show.
Well, my influences are all jazz, classical, and so forth. It's I'm not really a pop player.
Right.
So my music does reflect a lot of esoteric type jazz fusion influences and things like that.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm glad she liked it.
Yeah. She was like so impressed with it.
Sometimes my pieces are too weird for people.
Now, we're all weird here at Supreme Radio. There's nobody.
Oh,
nobody
God, I like
we have no. In fact, in order to work here, you have to agree that you're not normal. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
I'll sign
with
a
more
waiver.
Dave Pulcinella. Stay tuned.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said that all disease begins in your gut. That's why it's so important to protect yourself with boosted immune system. If you drink coffee, tea, smoothies, or really any beverage in the morning, and you're looking for a tasty way to start your day and defend yourself against harmful bacteria, then I have just the thing for you to try. It's called the Ultimate Immunity Protection Stack, and it was put together by my friends over at Bioptimizers. Their immunity stack has 3 products which contain over 18 natural herbs and probiotic blends formulated to fight and eliminate bad bacteria like E. coli, Salmonella, gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria, and repair compromised gut lining. It also includes psychobiotics, which help increase serotonin and happy chemicals to naturally elevate your mood, performance, and cognitive function with no side effects or dependencies. It's a great addition to your morning routine, and it tastes amazing. Just stir it into any beverage, sip, and enjoy. It's the ultimate way to boost your immune system right before the holiday season. Go to shrnetwork.biz/protect and use code SHR10 and save an extra 10% off on the You Won't Find This Deal or Stack anywhere else. For fast shipping and the best deal, go to shrnetwork.biz/protect today.
By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today.
Are you ready to change the way you age? Of course you are. That's why you're here. Juvicell is a new, first-of-its-kind dietary supplement that includes 10 key research-backed ingredients shown in studies to support lifespan. Things like resveratrol, fisetin, quercetin, pterostilbene, sulforaphane, turmeric, all in a single dose. You may have some of these ingredients already, but Juvicell is the first to combine them all into a single product to support your lifespan. It's vegan, non-GMO, and sustainable. Live better, longer with Juvicell. Go to shrnetwork.biz/livebetter. Use code SHR and save 20% off today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dave Pulcinella. He is the comeback kid. If you see Dave, he's coming back from something. He always is. Coming back from work, coming back from home. So right now you're in the biggest comeback of your life. You've suffered some.
Without a doubt.
Well, how do you do you still get up every morning with the same enthusiasm that you did when you got up and jumped right on your bicycle?
Yes, I was up at 5:30 this morning, and my butt was on that stationary bike by 5:45, and I love it. It feels great. I'm happy to still be able to do it. My knees don't feel the same while I'm doing it, but I just power through it. And if I don't do it, man, if I don't, the alternative is unacceptable. The alternative is that I'm a 56-year-old dude with a 56-year-old dude's body.
Right.
That's not happening.
Right.
So whatever I can do, I'll do the hell out of it.
I got to drink some water. I get these. Sorry.
You get kicked out of Planet Fitness with that thing.
Yeah, that bottle. Yeah, I know. So we have some questions for you real quick here.
Okay.
Robert Thompson says, what supplements do you like? Creatine, protein powders, how much protein for the older guy?
I like protein powder. I like a specific one. I like blends. I like the Hexapros. I like the 6 protein blend, hexatine, things like that. Redcon one, I love their blend. It's great, tastes great. I use a essential fatty acids. I love that. And I use those. Again, when you're eating the six foods that work, there's not much dietary fat in those. You need to take a supplement for your fats. Multivitamin always. Not much other than that. I don't do pre-workouts. Not much ergogenically. Just the food-based supplements and things that are basically nutrition-based. They're not ergogenic.
Have you tried the new ready-to-drink MREs from Redcon One?
I have not tried that yet.
Dude.
But I'm going best. To. How good are they?
Unbelievable.
Really?
40 grams.
What flavors are
this one is vanilla. They have vanilla. They have blueberry cobbler. They have strawberry. I think it's strawberry shortcake. And then they have, of course, the classic chocolate.
Nice.
40 grams of protein. Get a load of this. Beef isolate protein, egg protein, rice protein, and pea protein. No whey protein. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to avoid whey protein because they say they're allergic to it.
Bigger and bigger, yeah.
There's allergic
reaction.
Beef
protein, egg white protein, plant-based protein.
Yeah,
I also like beet powder.
Oh,
beet root powder for my blood pressure.
Does it really help you? You notice a difference?
It's insane. It's so cheap. It's not a medication, and yet I'm sure the medical field does not want you to know about it because it just works.
And Omar Hurtado said two legends, meaning me and you, I think.
What's that?
Omar Hurtado. He just put up two legends. I said, I think he's talking about me and you. See, that's what happens when you get old, Dave. They call you a legend.
Regardless of what you've done, it doesn't matter.
It's like saying two relics.
That's more like it. Yeah.
Thank you, Omar. That's very sweet of you. Bill Bergman wants to know if you think that DECA is good for HRT.
Not necessary, but it is good if you have bad joints. HRT, man, you really should just do a low dose test. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Once you start stacking everything, it's beyond HRT, and now you're into stacking.
Right.
So you might as well just run a cycle.
Right.
You know. Not to mention the progesterone side effects that some people are very, very prone to with DECA. You just don't need it. Keep yourself low dose test. Just replace what you're losing and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
If you start to get greedy with it, that's where all the side effects. And for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So whatever you're doing that's making you feel great today will make you feel equally as shitty tomorrow if you stop it.
Yeah.
So don't take it all the way up here just to have it come all the way down here. So I don't think you need DECA for HRT.
So Scott Taverner says, Matt in the comment section, almost the last call out again with Matt Meinrod in the comment section. So you've done quite a few podcasts over the years. You and Aaron Singerman, when we had Off Topic, you and Aaron Singerman started Pulsing Radio, which was a combination between Pulse and Singerman and Pulsinella.
Yeah.
And then you also did Last Call Out. Who did you do Last Call Out with? Did you do that with Matt Meinrod?
First Call Out.
First call out. Who did you do that with?
No one wants to be in the Last Call Out.
That was
Matt Meinrod. That was me and Meinrod.
Yeah.
That was me and Meinrod's baby. Oh, we loved it. It was so much fun. Sometimes that show would go on for 3 hours without us even realizing it.
Well, because you were able to pontificate about things that you really loved and you knew about, which was bodybuilding.
You know, and like you and I, Matt and I had really good chemistry, you know, and it just was so easy. There's nothing strained about it. It just came so easy and it flowed naturally. So 3 hours would go by and we didn't even realize it. We're just having fun, you know?
Now me, on the other hand, who knew nothing about bodybuilding, we had some bodybuilder on Off Topic, and I asked him if he saw Kevin English in the 212 class, that particular competition. And Aaron goes, yeah, Carl, he was in the show. He was like, he was one of the athletes on the stage. I was like, oh, I don't know. I didn't know who. That's when I learned, don't talk about bodybuilding. You know nothing about it. So just stay away from it.
So what is your background with body? Why did you choose, this industry? If you're not a bodybuilder and never was, So
I actually did a show about this with Anthony Roberts back in 2008. There's the word bodybuilding and there's the sport bodybuilding.
Right.
They're very different. So for me, I am probably the first, and maybe to today, I don't know, maybe there's more, but guys to do a podcast about anti-aging, where bodybuilding was a cornerstone of anti-aging. So I looked at it from the physical culture standpoint, like Armin Tanney and Jack LaLanne and Steve Reeves and all these guys who believed that if you wanted optimal health, let's not forget, Eugene Sandow was named the health minister of England at a point in time when he was popular.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the medical community was pissed off about it. They're like, how could you? Well, he knew more about health. He was healthy. He knew how to stay healthy. They didn't know it. And so I look at bodybuilding for the express purpose of keeping me young and youthful and vital. And that happens to come along with a certain look. You know what I mean?
Right. Look is a byproduct of that.
Yeah. So bodybuilding as a sport is different. And that's where the aberration starts.
There's bodybuilding the hobby, there's bodybuilding the sport. And then there's bodybuilding as a lifestyle to stay healthy.
And that's really
but where they all do have the side effect of making you look better.
Yes, and also feel better if you're doing it right, obviously, like we're discussing right now. So you're making a comeback. What is your goal? I have a goal. I want to be able to be strong like I was a couple years ago. That's all I'm looking for. I've had a couple surgeries.
Sorry.
Those were my problems, okay? So I have a solid goal in my mind. That doesn't really have anything to do with the way I look as much as the way I feel, okay? What is your goal? When you think of
mine has all to do with the way I look.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's okay.
I want to feel good, too.
No, that's okay.
But my health is definitely more of a priority now than it ever has been, because when you feel it taken away from you, when you get that first little droplet of an inkling of mortality.
Yep.
And that's really what happened when I – not with the first one. When I tore that first one, it was really no big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And it was an accident.
I finally got an injury.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hey, you know, at least it happened long after I retired. I'll just do what they tell me to do and I'll be healed and I'll come back. That's great. But then when that second one went, it became more systemic. It wasn't just an isolated thing. So if it happened to this one and it happened to this one, there's something going on in my body as an entirety, as an entity. You know what I mean? So it's systemic. Whatever this thing is everywhere.
Yeah.
And then this went.
And then this
went. And that sealed it.
Right.
And then this went. And then I had to get this one redone. So that's five right there.
Right.
So I'm like, something's going on, and it has to do with age and time. Mm-hmm. And I never had to even think about that before.
Right.
Ever. Had to think about age or time or wear and tear. I never dealt with it. So the moment I dealt with it to that degree, it changed everything, Carl. It changed the way I thought about the world and life and mortality and how much time I have here and what I can do and how I'm on borrowed time and how I'm not going to be able to do this forever. And at one time, I thought I could.
Right.
I was going to be built forever.
I thought the same thing. I thought because I did this show, I was going to be the guy that didn't have aging affect me. That's true.
Time always wins.
Yeah.
Time always wins. So after that, I adjusted my training and everything. And my goal at this point, and it's a lofty one, but I want to, and you have, no one has an idea, because I won't post pictures of what this has done to my physique over the years.
Right.
What it did.
Right.
And my starting point, my spindly little cellulite-ridden legs.
Right.
My little tiny little arms where you can see the humerus through it. It was awful. No one knew what I looked like because I refused to show the world that. I showed some pictures.
Right.
But my goal was to go from there, which is, by the way, way worse than that kitchen picture.
Right. Right. I know. Because you had muscle and you were functioning. Right. Right. Right.
Exactly. That was just from me not doing anything for a while.
Right.
This is from me being broken.
Right.
So not only am I dealing with the fact that, you know, there were injuries, but now I have to train differently. There's a lot of things I can't do. So this is such a challenge that it excites me. It's an actual opportunity. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for me to do something I've never done before and to prove to myself that I can overcome anything. So the training's got to be totally different. There's a lot I can't do any free weights anymore. I can't. Everything's machines. So the question is, can I get to look like I did when I was 45 at 56, being able to do a fraction of the things I was able to do?
All right.
I can still eat the way I ate. I can still do that.
And let's be honest, that's 85% of it.
It's 85%. So as long as I lock in to those six foods, which is I'm doing right now, and my body's changing daily, by the way, 45 minutes of cardio on that bike every morning at 5 o'clock a.m., and whatever I can do in the gym with weight training in my modified style, that's what I'm going to do until my body evolves into what it's going to be. Then we're going to see what it is. And my hope is that it looks like I did when I was 45, 2 or 3 years after retirement.
That's
when I was at.
I'm gonna start communicating with you behind the scenes, because I want to talk to you, because I'm on the same road as you. My leg strength and leg mass has disappeared, mm-hmm. Because I haven't been able to train legs for years.
Can't do anything.
But I'm able now. I'm able now. Okay. I have some ailments.
Lunges were the staple. They were the bedrock of my leg and ass training routine, right. And I can't do them with body weight now.
Right. Right.
So I had to think of something else. It's ridiculous.
We have questions piling up here, so I'm going to take our last.
Oh, okay.
I want to, but before we take the last commercial break, I have another clip I want to show. When you were making your own protein drinks out of tuna. So this has no audio. Tuna is a beverage, it says, and he's scooping the tuna in his mouth and then drinking it down with water.
Like a pill.
Yeah.
So I posted that recently, and I got into a disagreement with Ian Vieira about it. And Ian Vieira swears up and down that you shouldn't do that, that you're never going to digest your food,
well,
that you're diluting your stomach acid.
I
beg to differ.
I was thinking a little bit about that when he said you're not going to digest your food. Drinking water with a meal will slow the digestion process down, but it doesn't stop it. What happens is, your gut has to deal with the water first and get it out. So if that's in fact a concern, I have a sponsor, and this product here, let me see where it is. They're called Bioptimizers. Those of you who watch the show know about Bioptimizers. They have a product called HCL Breakthrough. It's hydrochloric acid and several other protease enzymes and so on. Okay. So if you're going to drink water with your meal, just take a couple of these with it, because then what happens is the water becomes hydrochloric acid. So you're satisfying your need to drink the meal down and get it down. Because,
right.
You know, what people don't realize is a lot of those champion, like, eaters, the ones that go to the eating contest, they eat like 60 hot dogs. They're drinking water every second because it's washed it down. It gets it down. But this,
I thought of that as well.
If you add some HCL Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, a sponsor of my show, this turns that water into hydrochloric acid, and now it's going to actually digest your food faster.
You know what else, though? Think about this for a second, Carl. Every bodybuilder that we know drinks 1 to 2 gallons of water a day,
right,
and eats 6 to 7 meals a day anyway.
They're always
so
drinking
always
water around
water
a meal.
And food in
yes,
your belly.
Yes.
Always, whether you're doing it at the same time or you're eating your meal and then 5 minutes later you're drinking.
Exactly. No, you're right. You're right. The gut deals with it by getting the water out first and processing the water, and then the digestion becomes. But it's not going to be. It's not going to be hours. It's not going to be hours. All right, we're going to take a last commercial break. Stay tuned.
Water empties from the gut in what, 5 minutes?
At least. Less than that. Probably less than that, really. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more. If you have questions, you can post them. Yeah, we have some questions. Sit tight.
Oh, okay.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Milestorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovering better today. By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today.
Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said that all disease begins in your gut. That's why it's so important to protect yourself with boosted immune system. If you drink coffee, tea, smoothies, or really any beverage in the morning, and you're looking for a tasty way to start your day and defend yourself against harmful bacteria, then I have just the thing for you to try. It's called the Ultimate Immunity Protection Stack, and it was put together by my friends over at Bioptimizers. Their immunity stack has three products which contain over 18 natural herbs and probiotic blends formulated to fight and eliminate bad bacteria like E. coli, salmonella, gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria, and repair compromised gut lining. It also includes psychobiotics, which help increase serotonin and happy chemicals to naturally elevate your mood, performance, and cognitive function with no side effects or dependencies. It's a great addition to your morning routine, and it tastes amazing. Just stir it into any beverage, sip, and enjoy. It's the ultimate way to boost your immune system right before the holiday season. Go to shrnetwork.biz/protect and use code SHR10 and save an extra 10% off on the You won't find this deal or stack anywhere else. For fast shipping and the best deal, go to shrnetwork.biz/protect today.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back.
Brawn and brains finally meet. Who's the brawn? Who's the brains here?
Neither one of us.
That's what I thought. I'm just totally misnomer.
I don't know who they're talking about. That guy used to work here. He doesn't work here
anymore. You're making that up.
Okay, so we have some questions. So the first one comes from Bill Bergman. He says, any tips on approaching girls in the gym?
Don't.
Yeah, all right.
Just don't.
Let them work out. Leave them alone.
That's advice. They hate that. Even if they would like you otherwise and they thought you were good looking or whatever, just wait until they're done working out. Just don't approach them in their work.
And let them approach you.
And don't try to go up to them and try to help them. That's even worse. Like the old damsel in distress thing. Just don't do that. Leave them alone. It's best advice I can give you.
Especially
if they look like they're really working out.
I know how to get the prettiest girl in the gym to come over to you. So I was training legs one morning, and this was at an old powerhouse gym here in Louisville, and the squat rack was all the way the furthest in the corner. And it was about 6 a.m. in the morning, and there wasn't anybody in the gym. I walked in. I was the only one in there. And I had done a couple sets of warm-ups. I was graduating up to my working weight. I had really bad gas. And I thought, there's nobody in the gym. Nobody in the gym. Right?
That's how to get her to walk.
I let out the worst protein fart in the world. And I'm like, by the time people get here, it'll be gone. And literally, as I finish farting, this really hot chick comes walking into the gym, walks straight to the rack right next to me. So she's looking at, we're both looking in the mirror. And I'm like, you know. I'm like, I don't even want to look at her, right? Because I'm the guy in the elevator that farted.
It's
right?
Not a matter of who did it. Like, it's obvious who did it.
She looked at me with the most disgusting grimace and just walked to the other side. Because she must have got a whiff of it in her mouth and her face. And she was like, oh, you disgusting pig. And she walked away. So if you want the hottest chick in the gym to come over to you, fart.
You know what she I always will say? Come if right you're alone over and lonely and you want someone to walk into the room, just fart.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Like literally, I could be in my office alone for 2 hours and fart and then someone will knock on the door.
Yeah, leave the girls alone. If they want, if there's a girl that wants to know you, tell them, just give them time. They'll come over to you. So,
you know what? Eye contact says everything. If they're looking at you and looking at you and staring at you, that might be an invitation to come over. Otherwise, leave them alone.
Okay, what about this? There used to be a girl that used to come to my gym. She was married. I've seen her husband. I don't think things were good at home. And she used to come to my gym, and she used to wear the shortest booty shorts in the world and do bent over, deadlifts, stiff leg deadlifts. And like you could literally, like she was doing them, you know, she knows that
you
her ass
see
is
her
out.
Ovaries.
Yeah, you can see her ovaries, exactly. So what do you do? I just looked away, first of all. I didn't want to get caught looking at her. Like I didn't want to be that perv.
Well, that's what she wants. She wants you to look at her. Why else should she do that? That annoys me when they dress like that. You look, and then they act offended that you looked.
Right.
Well, why are you nude in the gym?
Why are you nude? Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. But there are some girls. I will say this. There are some girls who go to the gym to meet guys. And you will know who they are by the way they're dressed, the makeup, the hair. But if she's there to train, leave her alone.
Yeah.
That is the singles bar for some girls. So some girls do go there to meet guys.
Michael
but
Nippert,
you don't know that they want to meet you.
Michael Nippert says, good luck. I hope you can do it. Robert Thompson says, try road cycling because you like bike. No. The concentric hills.
I'll tell you why, because it's never constant. So when I'm in the meat and potatoes of my cardio, I'm literally at 105 RPMs in the pedal at level 10 the whole 45 minutes. There's no way to approximate that on the road. It's just you're up, you're down, you stop pedaling, you're coasting for a couple seconds, you get to a red light. There's all kinds of things that are interrupt. That's I'm not approximating what I'm doing at home on the road. It might be more cool and interesting with the scenery, but I don't give a hell about that.
You know, it's interesting because I watched the director's cut where your brother and you and a girl whose name I can't remember right now.
Jennifer Emick.
Okay, we're commenting about the raising the bar too.
Mm-hmm.
And so your brother was there. Like you woke up, you got out of bed, you got right on the bicycle.
Yeah.
And you said you were shocked. You said, wow, I didn't realize I started out pedaling at that high RPM. And then you said, that's why I was fat. I didn't understand that. Like I would think that pedaling at a high RPM would be.
That's why I was fat.
Yeah. You said a fat F, you said.
I said that?
Yeah. Go back and look.
Because I started off at high RPM.
You said, I can't believe I got right on the bike and was up at that high RPM. That's why I was a fat F.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to go back and listen to it because I'm sure something is being lost in translation because it makes no sense. It's making no sense to me.
Yeah, it's around the 4 minute mark, so it's real easy. It's right at the beginning of the.
Because I usually start off with 80 to 90 RPMs.
Yeah, you were wailing to 105. You were wailing like right from the get go.
Right from the beginning.
Yeah, you said and you commented. You go, I can't believe I started off at that high RPM.
And maybe I said I started off like that because I was fat.
That could be it. That could be.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to watch it.
Bill Bergman says, thanks for the tips. On meeting a girl. Yeah, just fart. The hottest girl in the gym will come right over
it
to you.
Draws them to you.
And Robert Thompson says, fixed gears, no coasting, constant cadence, not boring, skill involved. So maybe you should give it a try. You know,
I don't have one.
EMS device, you don't need. You. What do you think about those? The electromagnetic stimulators, the electric pulse stimulators. You think they're good for guys like us when we've had injuries?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because for instance, over the past 4 years or so, not my entire calf, but just the inner head has just disappeared. I still have the outer head, so now there's just like one side of it bulges out like this, and the other side's like almost scooped out. It's gone, and the reason is nerve damage. So if the nerve is not innervating that muscle, there's no way, I don't care how many calf raises I
right,
do.
Right, right.
It's not going to build. So I put the thing right there.
Tens unit, yeah, right.
And I zap them. That's the only way they're going to get any stimulus.
And do you see any change?
Yeah.
Really?
You got to do it every day, though. And yeah. I have the unit, and I put it on there, just on that inner head of my calf, because that's the only way to stimulate that muscle. Now, if you can stimulate it normally, you don't need it. It's going to be pointless to do that. But if you have a muscle that, through nerve damage, is not innervating, it's not firing, then there's nothing you can do exercise-wise. So you got to bypass that whole nerve system, and you got to go,
direct. Rogue. You got to go direct connect. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a business where you do nutritional counseling, right?
Yeah.
How do people find you if they want to reach out to you and get some advice from you?
Well, my website is pulsenutritionconcepts.com.
P-U-L-S-E?
Pulse, yeah.
PulseNutritionConcepts.com.
Play on Pulsinella.
Yeah, yeah.
PulseNutritionConcepts.com. That's the best way to contact me. And there's a field on there you can go in and inquire about my prices and what I offer.
And to give your Instagram again, please.
Instagram is at Dave Pulsinella. At Dave, P-U-L-C-I-N-E-L-L-A.
I'm sorry about the typo. It says Pulsinelli on the screen.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, that's okay. Nobody sees that anyway.
Any research on your topic?
Any research on which topic?
Me. You didn't spell my name right? Wait, who spelled it P-U-L?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody misspelled
it. With an I at the end?
Yeah, Pulsinelli. Yeah.
Well, that's if there's more than one Dave Pulsinella.
Yeah.
Plural.
There's Pulsinelli's. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's plural. That's his name, plural. That's it. it's been fun hanging out with you.
Oh, you too. Always, man.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep in touch with you, and we'll progress together.
Yes, and I want you to send me the peptides that I'm supposed to do for my
connective tissue. I'll text you right after we get off the air here. I'll text
Awesome.
You. All right, thanks to everybody who participated live. Today is Friday, which means I'm off for the next couple days. But we will be back Monday. We have lots of great shows planned next week. We have Lane Norton coming on.
Oh, nice. He's always interesting.
Lane is great. Lane just pulled the 700-something pound deadlift after having all
That's
sorts
insane.
Of back problems. Well, don't forget, he had like ruptured discs, and he had all sorts of back problems, and he came back.
And he's a natty.
Yes. He's been natty his whole career.
He's a natty who doesn't believe in the six foods that work.
Yes, I know.
We've had many arguments about it.
No, I know. Everything works for everybody that it works for. You know what I'm saying?
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. But yeah, Lane is going to be on, and we'll be talking about nutrition. We'll be talking about his recent, breaking his recent goal. And bye-bye.
Thank you for
the show.
Me.
All right, Dave. Talk to you soon, brother. Take care. We'll see everybody on Monday. Thanks for being here.